Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, here we are for another week of episodes of Locked On Kings. And before we get to today's guest, which is Bobby Jackson, the ex-King, he's done some scouting with the Kings. I get to work with him on the radio as well. He will join us, talk about the NBA draft in just a moment. I do want to take this time, though, to personally thank you guys. Best week we've had yet on Locked On Kings. One of our biggest, or it is our biggest week. Each episode, starting with Bobby Gerald last week, all the way through Friday, just great, great, great numbers. I'm thrilled with that, so thank you for your support. You obviously are listening and telling other people, and keep doing it if you could. That would be fantastic, but by far our biggest week, if you take the totality of the week. We had a huge one the week DeMarcus got traded back at All-Star break, but this one has been consistently good last week, so let's keep it rolling, and that's hopefully what we'll do this week, and starting it off with our guest today, Bobby Jackson. And you know how to find us, though. Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher, and of course, subscribe. It's free on iTunes. All this stuff is free. Listen on demand when you want it. And there we are, right there for you, talking a lot about the NBA, but specifically about the Sacramento Kings. So let's do it now, jumping in about the NBA draft, continuing our coverage. And we do it with Bobby Jackson. As I said, I get to work with Bobby. I've gotten to know Bobby, and he likes to do this stuff. He likes to scout these guys and give his opinion and analysis. So let's do it. Bobby, there's so much speculation that this draft or talk that it's loaded at the top specifically. Do you agree with that? Do you think that this is a draft that can be filled with potential all-stars down the line?
Well, of course. You know, this has been a while. It's been a minute since the draft has been this heavy with potential franchise changers. And guys that can really be the face of the franchise for years to come. And it's exciting, you know, a plethora of point guards and small forwards that can really, really play downhill, attack the basket. Really athletic players in this draft also, you know, and it's fun to just observe, watch, and see how these young men have grown in the last year watching them in college.
Yeah, young is right. I mean, almost everybody at the top, it's all freshmen. I mean, is this going to be the way it's going to be, or is that just unique to this class? I mean, we're not asking for seniors, but it doesn't seem like there's any sophomores or juniors. It's all freshmen, basically, at the top.
It is, you know, and I think when you look at that, you know, it's a good thing and it's a bad thing. I mean, the good thing is about it, you know, you got young guys that you can mold into possible potential all-stars, MVP candidates. But you also get to bring some youth to your franchise that you can develop into nice young players. And it kind of, you know, it helps both people. It helps the organization. It helps the young guys. And when you find a special guy, if you can find a special guy in this draft, you definitely want to take a look at him, but you also want to draft him because you don't want to make a mistake.
Yeah, and then the trick in all of this is assessing it and ranking them and putting them in order. If you were to have a draft order, who do you like? Who would be at the top in what seems to be a pretty loaded top part of the draft? Who do you like the best?
Yeah, it's, you know, sometimes you go on what the team needs,
mm-hmm.
you know, and say Boston. You know, I think they need, you know, a two or a three. You know, I think they got their point guard in Isaiah Thomas, a guy that averaged 29 points a game. You know, for me, you know, you look at a Markelle Fultz or you look at a Josh Jackson or Jason Tatum. For me, I don't think Lonzo Ball, maybe you can play Lonzo Ball with IT.
Mm-hmm.
I think IT can play with anybody. Can anybody play with IT? You know, that's the question. When you bring one of these young guys in, Because that's what's going to happen if Boston goes to draft. Are they going to get better with bringing that young guy in, or do you trade that pick to go get a solid veteran? So it's so a solid veteran, like, you know, a guy like Paul George that's, you know, made it known that he wants to be out of Indiana at the end of his contract. He hasn't blatantly said it, but the rumors are out there.
Sure.
And then you get, you know, Jimmy Butler or Gordon Hayward. You know, can you get better with making that move with those three? I think you make a huge run by adding one of those three guys. You don't get better with adding a rookie to that Boston that roster, I don't think. So, you know, it's so much that you got to go into detail if you want to compete with the Cleveland Cavaliers. You know they're going to be going back to the Eastern Conference Finals, NBA Finals every year until LeBron James says, until he hangs it up.
Yeah, and that's what's so tricky about Boston being there, because obviously the lottery is for teams that have struggled, and it's a lot of the same teams, Kings included, Phoenix, Philly, you know, all those teams that are there, the Lakers and Orlando and so on and so forth. But then there's Boston, and that's why, I don't know if this year's going to have a bunch of trades, Bobby, but I feel like it might just because of almost Boston being at number one. They don't have to get a rookie, but they could. They have flexibility. Do you feel like there's going to be some movement at the top of the draft?
It should. You know, I think every year when you look at it, you always, you know, you look at the teams like Boston, Phoenix, Philly. Philly has a great young roster, and with the pick that they got, if they add another young guy, they need a solid veteran that can really come in and knock down that open jump shot.
Yeah,
a great veteran guy in this league. You know, if you add a rookie, can he be a consistent force every single night for that Philadelphia team? So, at the end of the day, Jay, you got to do your due diligence. You got to do your homework, and you got to do the thing that's going to make your franchise move in the right direction. And that's what's so intriguing about draft, making these decisions, talking all over the scenarios, that's going to make you better. Even with us, the Sacramento Kings, we got to figure out how to make ourselves competitive, but also better at the same time when we step on the floor next year.
Yeah, and the good thing for the Kings at five, their need is point guard. There's a lot of point guards, like you said, at the top of the draft, whether that's Fultz, Ball, or Fox. If that's the top tier of point guards, and Fultz can play a little bit off the ball too, but how do you rank those three? Like, when you personally look at them, I know you're a fan of Fox, but Fox, Ball, Fultz, how do you break down those three?
You know, I kind of break them down as, I really like Fultz. I don't like his defensive demeanor, you know, but he's a probably out of all three guards, probably the most talented scorer. Kind of reminds me of a James Harden. He has the physique, he has the talent, he can handle the basketball. The way he gets to the basket is just phenomenal. Doesn't shoot it as well as James Harden right now, but he's probably the more polished out of the three scoring guards as far as putting the ball in the basket. Then I would say De'Aaron Fox. You know, he's kind of wowed me throughout this whole process. Out of those three, he's one of the one guys that can play both ends of the floor. And, you know, he doesn't shoot the ball that well, but he doesn't have a glitch in his jump shot. So I think that can be fixed. His mechanics are on point. It's just putting the reps for him. And then you got Lonzo Ball. You know, I think everybody said he's the consensus best point guard in the country. He's made his team better. They compare him to a Jason Kidd, a guy that's going on, that's going to be a Hall of Famer and had a phenomenal career. And he has a big upside himself. So I would say Fultz, Fox, and De'Aaron, or you can, it's always going to be a debate on which three guys are your top three guys. You know, that's how I would probably do it. Or I may go Fox, Fultz, and Ball. You know, it's just how you look at it.
And just, do you think is that like its own tier? Is it a big drop then to Dennis Smith and Nikola Jokic? Is that a big drop after that? Is there a big difference between those point guards?
Well, I don't think with Dennis Smith, but I think Frank is.
Okay.
I think Frank's a couple years away. I think with those three or four guards, they're going to step right in and contribute at a high level. watching Frank play overseas, he's only averaged 4 to 6 points on a B-level team in Europe, and he wasn't playing the best competition. But I think, you know, he is young, but he still has some potential at being 6'5 and being wiry and long. You know, so it's no knock on Dennis Smith. I think Dennis Smith is the fourth best guard in this league. But outside of Frank Nkunia, I have Frank Mason. Frank Mason.
Oh wow,
is by far, you know, if you watch him play, and I was enamored with his workout when he came in and worked out for us. I the kid is a competitor. You know, he's going to compete. He's going to fight for everything. And then you love a guy's story.
Yeah.
How hard it took for him to get to where he needed to get to. And now he's relishing on all the success that's paying off from his hard work.
Now, I want to ask you about him because, you know, Kings pick at 5, Kings pick at 10. I look at mock drafts. They have him later, sometimes in the second round. Is there any chance he's still there at as far as 34? Or is that waiting too long to get someone like that?
Man, if this kid went in and worked out the way I've seen him work out, there's no way he's there in the second round.
So you love him.
I tell people this all the time. If this was the draft 15 years ago, he'll be a top 10 pick.
Really?
Yeah.
So what's different now?
Now it's about height.
Yeah.
Athleticism, and the kid is probably one of the most athletic guards in this draft. He's just 5'10". But how he plays and him being older, I think he has the experience and the competitive nature out of all four or five of these guards in this draft. I think his will to win and his competitiveness is going to take him over the edge. So I like Frank Mason. You know, he's a consistent National Player of the Year, and he's hungry. You know, when you find a guy like that, you kind of fall in love with him.
How about a guy the Kings worked out? Mock drafts have him anywhere from 10 to 15, 18, is Donovan Mitchell from Louisville. Is he more of a two, or is there any shot that he can be a ball handler and a decision maker as well?
He's not a bad ball handler, but he's a flat-out scorer.
Okay.
The kid makes tough shots. You watched him play. I watched him play a couple of times in Louisville. His game has gotten better throughout his 2 years at Louisville. You know, being able to make shots, improve his three-point shooting, improve his ball handling. I think he's a combo guard. He's only about 6'2", but he jumps out of the gym. He's a tough nose, rugged defender. You know, I think getting into the NBA, he has to figure out how to play if he's going to be a point guard, play the point guard position, because he was the off guard at Louisville. And I play off guard at Minnesota. Can it be done? Yes. Is it harder? Yes. You know, now you just got to figure out how to learn the nuances that comes with being a point guard in this league. And sometimes he may have to be a combo guard the tough two guards, but also switch back and forth to a point guard position.
So, Bobby, I know you're a fan of Fox. We talked about him earlier. I've done two mock drafts where I've been asked to pick for the Kings at 5, and I've been able to get him, which has made me happy, but there's a lot of concern that maybe the Kings can't get him at 5. How concerned are you about that? You know, that's a good target. He makes a lot of sense. How concerned are you that he may not be there at 5, or do you think he'll fall there?
I hope he's there. That's just my I hope he's there, but yeah. I don't. You know, if you're looking at what I've looked at and, you know, how he's approached the season, the only drawback that he has is, number one, he's real skinny, mm-hmm. which Kevin Durant has proven that being skinny, it has nothing to do with your game. And number two, him making jump shots. I think he'll become a much better jump shooter throughout the process of each season, getting with a franchise and teaching him how to make shots at a consistent rate. And he's a gym rat. He likes to play and he likes to compete. Now he has to figure out how to hone and lock down the skill set that comes with being a top 5 pick in this NBA draft.
Want to ask you then, we've kind of hit a lot about the point guards, maybe some guys in combo guards. How about the top-level wings? And we're talking about Josh Jackson, Tatum, probably Malik Monk. I know he might be a two, but maybe he can slide to some three. And then Isaac. How do you rate kind of Jackson, Tatum, Monk, and Isaac?
Well, I got Josh Jackson number one out of all the small forwards. You know, and Jason Tatum from Duke, he's number two. Jonathan Isaac, number three. And then you kind of go down to Terrence Ferguson,
okay,
Luke Kennard, which I probably can play two and three in this league. Probably Luke Kennard is more of a two. Malik Monk definitely can't play no three. It's just
okay, two.
6'3", 6'4", lights out shooter. He goes in that combo guard situation with a Donovan Mitchell, but probably a more prolific scorer out of anybody in this draft, Malik Monk is. So that's how I have my small forwards. You know, those top three guys, Jackson, Tatum, and Isaac, guys that can really, really – and then Justin Jackson. Nobody's talking about him, a guy that may be a sleeper in this draft, a guy that's been in Carolina, ACC Player of the Year, knows how to play. So, you know, he's on the back tail end of those small forwards that can come in and make an immediate impact.
And this is what's so good about the Kings winning the lottery a little bit and moving up from eight, just because, you know, if it doesn't work where Fox isn't there, there's still going to be good choices. And the guys you just talked about, whether it's Tatum or Isaac or Jackson, just winning that few spots they moved up, how beneficial is that going to be for the Kings?
That's huge. You know, when we walked into it, we thought we was going to be 8-10, and we ended up going 5-10, which, you know, we was ecstatic. And I think it was something that you look at like, well, we can get a really good player at five. You know, I don't think that five is going to be tough. I think 10, mm-hmm. when we pick 10, 10 is going to be tough. You know, then you got to make a decision on which guy to take. And I think at that five, it's going to either be Jackson, Tatum, or Fox, I think, mm-hmm. unless, you know, Boston or Philly and Phoenix do something totally different and surprise everybody and don't take nobody from that group.
Yeah, so if it's Jackson, Tatum, or Fox, the assumption that they're five, how connected then do you think, Bobby, that'll be to 10? So my example being if they take Fox, you're probably not taking a point guard at 10, but if you take Jackson or Tatum, is there a need to go after Dennis Smith or Nathaniel Aquino or Mason or someone else? How connected do you think 5 and 10 will be? Are they going to try to take a different position at each spot there?
You know, you look at what we need, you know, and I can't tell you how we would do it.
Sure.
You know, I think so many scenarios will come into play. You know, I think it really depends on what happens at five. You know, we get a point going at five, maybe we go small forward or power forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that small forward is not there that we need, or if that power forward is not there that we need. So I think at the end of the day, you draft the best guy available that you think that's going to come in and compete. But also that's how I look at the draft. You draft guys that you think is better than the players that you got right now.
Sure.
That's how I look at it. You know, if this guy can't come in and compete and outdo the guys that's here, he don't need to be here. So that's how I kind of do my observation. And sometimes it's right and sometimes it's wrong. And the draft, the lottery is the luck of the draw. You just got to hope that you get a guy that's willing to improve, work hard, but also get better every single summer and every single season. It's kind of a luck of a draw right now.
Where are you on the bigs, Bobby? We're hearing so much about the wings and the guards in this draft, and then you're looking at whether it's Giles or Jared Allen, Zach, or, you know, Collins. Bigs are anywhere from 10 down. Are they misplaced, or is that about right? What do you think about kind of the guys that are 4/5s that are in this draft?
Well, I mean, when you look at the fours and the fives, you know, I think the one guy that's probably the most that came out of high school with the most hype is Harry Giles.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just had a bad luck of just injuries that has riddled him this past season at Duke. And I think out of all those guys, he's probably the more polished and has the bigger upside. You just don't know about him staying healthy. If you take him, can he stay healthy and can he have a long career in the NBA? You will hope so, but, you know, having those two ACLs done, it doesn't bode well. And if the doctor says, hey, he's good to go, then somebody may take a risk. But I think he has the most upside because of how much hype he had coming out of high school. But I think the young kid is hungry. He's really ready to prove everybody wrong also.
Yeah, how nervous would that be? Like for Giles or I'm thinking, OG Anunoby has been hurt. Knowing that there's so much talent there, but then injuries, how scary. And all this, like you said, is kind of luck of the draw, but that's got to be a scary deal to go in on a guy that might be injured or has been injured.
It is, you know, and I think, you know, I think team doctors do a great job of, you know, analyzing these guys, making sure that they're healed, they're doing the right treatments, and they're getting the right rehabs. So, you know, with these young guys like OG, you know, from Indiana, you know, he hasn't worked out from anybody because he tore his ACL in the middle of the basketball season. And, you know, he has a great upside. You look at the young kid, his body is big. He's kind of like a Kawhi Leonard. He's even bigger than Kawhi Leonard. He wants to be like a Kawhi Leonard. You know, is he that Kawhi Leonard? Not yet. But just the potential alone, you know, because nobody really gave Kawhi Leonard a chance. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Kawhi when he came out, I'm like, he got drafted at 15. San Antonio took him. Now he's a perennial all-star, first team, all-pro, defensive player of the year, won a cup, won an NBA championship. So, you know, I think the sky's the limit for these young guys is what they make out of it, you know, and how they turn themselves into great basketball players, because they all have the potential to do that.
Well, you gave us Frank Mason earlier. That was a pretty good one, and someone that's caught your eye. Anyone else that, not even necessarily that the Kings are targeting, but someone you've looked at and you said, man, I don't know when they're going to get picked. It may not be at 5. It may not be at 10. Maybe the Kings don't get him. Maybe they go second round or late first round. But someone else that has kind of impressed you that you've seen that you think would be a good NBA player.
I think Caleb Swanigan.
Yeah, I keep hearing that name, Bobby. A lot of people like him.
He's really polished, man. He knows how to play the game. He's a big low on the box. He has all the moves. He's a man on the box. And I can get it right. Like, he is NBA to play ready right now just because he knows how to play. He has a great feel for the game. He uses his body well on the low box, and he can step out and shoot the three. You know, whoever gets him, he's going to be a nice NBA player. I was really impressed with his workout also.
And is he 4 or 5? I mean, I know NBA is all the same thing now, but what do you think he is?
6'9", but he doesn't move his feet that well. He's not as fast. So, you know, 6'9", 6'10", will he play center or power forward? Can he play the power forward with the conventional power forwards in today's NBA? No. Power forwards today are a little bit too fast and a little bit more athletic for him. If it was old school NBA, he could. So you may have to play him at the 5, and I think that's his natural position just because of how skilled and how big of a guy he is.
So lastly, are you enjoying this? I know you scouted during the season. You're there helping out with some of the workouts, seeing these guys firsthand. How much are you enjoying this, kind of still being around basketball, evaluating talent? How much fun is this for you?
Oh, I love it. Number one, I'm not helping out with the workouts. I'm actually watching all the workouts. Would I like to help out? Of course I would like to help out, but I'm just watching and observing and taking notes and looking at the little things, the quirks and screws that comes with, you know, basketball every day. Is he fast? Can he jump? Does he catch every basketball? Is he cerebral? Is he getting everything down that the coach is telling him to do? You know, fundamentally, skill set. So you look at all the things and you try to make an assumption of how good this player is going to be. But can this guy fit on your team? Can he come in and right now compete to play on our team? And I think when you look at that, you always have to ask yourself that question or ask, can this guy help us get better? If he can help us get better, I'm all for it. If he can't, he can't. And I'll be the first one. He can't beat out none of our guys. So what's the point of us talking about him?
Yeah, and you're so right on, you know, we're all getting caught up in the draft. But really for this team to be successful, Bobby, next year. They need to draft well, but Scal needs to get better. Willie needs to get better. Buddy, I mean, all the guys that are going to be here, if they all take a jump, the team's going to be better no matter how those draft picks do.
Yeah, that's what summer workouts is for.
Yeah.
You know, it's about improving, getting better every day. And I hope these young guys are living in the gym. You know, they should live in the gym 8 to 10 hours a day during the off season. You know, if you want to get better, you got to take the time out to really work on your craft. 2 hours a day ain't going to make you better. I can tell you that right now. You're going to get passed up and you're going to get zoomed by if you're working out 2 hours a day. You need to be in the gym at least 2 to 3 times a day, 2 hours at a time, and just perfecting your craft and working on the things that's going to help you get better as a basketball player.
Yeah, and help this team. That's the ultimate goal. Well, Bobby, always great catching up with you. I know we'll see you soon, and thanks for the time.
Well, no problem, Jay Rose.
My thanks to Bobby Jackson joining us here on Locked On Kings as we get within 2 weeks now of the NBA draft. It will be important for the Kings to hit on 5 and 10 if those are the spots they stay. 34 as well in the second round. But also, like I said to Bobby, you know, the other guys that are around have to get better. If all that stuff happens, a good draft, player development gets better, sprinkle in some good free agency or taking on some contracts, you got a good coaching staff, there you go. The climb starts. That's how it all works. So again, thanks to Bobby Jackson. Thank you guys for listening. Back again tomorrow for another edition of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99. And our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.